lesson appointed for this Sunday, we hear again one of our more familiar passages from the Gospel of Luke. In this case, we are listening to Jesus teach his disciples to pray. This is a passage well known to us, not so much from the Bible itself, but because we use what we call the Lord's Prayer many times in the course of our daily prayer. Officially, the church uses this prayer at least three times a day: at morning prayer, at evening prayer, and at compline, the part of the divine office we say before we retire in the evening. We say it, and if we add another portion of prayer, we might say it again. And then, in fact, if we have the Eucharist on the same day, we say it still yet another time. It's one of those prayers that's so familiar to us that, in fact, when people are having difficulty with memory at the end of their life, or even sometimes I have been where I have been fortunate enough to be there as they depart from this world and we recite the prayer, you can see their lips move along with you, even though they may not be able to carry conversation in any other way. It just becomes hardwired into our brains. And that's a good thing, to be sure. But it's also a problem. Because, you see, if we do anything that is so well-versed and hardwired into our habits, we have a tendency to do them and not really think about them. What one of us hasn't had a bag of chips watching a movie or a bowl of popcorn and realized that suddenly we go for another chip or another handful of popcorn and suddenly it's all gone? We've been watching a movie, not paying attention to what we're eating, probably not even tasting it. Just eating it because it's there. Dietitians, like Mother Mary here, call that mindless eating. And for those of us who suffer from a little bit too extra adipose, we have a tendency to do a lot of things. How often do we even eat our meals, our dinner, lunch, breakfast, whatever, and we can't simply focus on the food we're eating and really relish it and taste it and let it seep in? We have to be listening to the news or watching television, watching a program, you know, the advent of the TV dinner way back when, those of us who remember those aluminum trays, you know, all of a sudden we had to learn how to multitask, and eating was only one of the things we had to do at the time. We had to be focusing our attention somewhere else. Well, when something is that automatic, that's what usually happens. It can be mindless eating, but I'm afraid, as disciples of Jesus too often, we also have mindless praying. Prayers that we learned as children, prayers that have been hardwired into our experience, we recite the words, and by the time we get past the second or third phrase, our minds have wandered to something else. Well, it's way too warm in here, or perhaps it's too much of a breeze. Or perhaps I have to think about what I'm going to have for lunch, or whatever it is, but we go through the motions, we say the words, and we don't think very carefully about what we're saying, and yet somehow we check off on our to-do list for the day that we pray. It is interesting because when we study this passage, one of the first questions that usually comes to mind is about the ending part of it, when Jesus says, "Ask, and you will receive, seek, and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you." How many times have we known people in our own lives who say, "I don't go to church anymore, I don't even think God listens to prayers anyway. So I pray, and I don't get what I pray for." In another portion of the scripture, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he tells them, "You pray, and you don't receive, because you pray wrongly." There is a wrong way to pray, and maybe this sort of mindless praying is what we're talking about here. And then suddenly we turn to God when we want something, and we say what it is we want, And we send that up to God very much like God is Santa Claus in the sky and we're writing our Christmas letter. I want good health. I want a cure. I want this. I want a new car. I want a better job. I want. And then when God doesn't answer that prayer, we get disappointed. And we turn away. Well, there is a solution to that. The great reformer Martin Luther was once asked by none other than his barber, whose name was Peter, like the disciples that asked Jesus, teach us to pray, he asked the great reformer how to pray. Because, as it was, with the Reformation and all the things, the forms of prayer, everything was getting discombobulated. Nobody knew what was right anymore. Not that there wasn't a right, I don't mean it that way, but rather people were confused. Because the church had become kind of a corporate, mindless prayer. Reciting prayers, without really thinking through what it was that they were doing. And so, in his reform mentality, Luther said we must also reform the way we pray. And so Peter asks him this question. He says, or not actually, makes a request of him, teach me how to pray so that I may pray rightly. And he said, you know how to pray. You have the model of all prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And he basically says, we say it all the time. But Luther is saying, maybe we need to do it differently. Maybe we need to relearn how to pray. And so, in a rather lengthy letter that would take a good half hour, 45 minutes to read to you, I don't want to do that. I'm going to try to paraphrase it as best I can. He would say something like this. Take the Lord's Prayer and say the first phrase. Our Father. And then ask yourself, what does this mean? What does this mean? To understand that, we would have to go back and look at the words that Jesus uses. This is Jesus' model of prayer. And, you know, we tend to be, especially us as Anglicans and Episcopalians, we have to be so formal about everything. We even do that in our prayer. And so we say, Father. The word that Jesus uses in Aramaic, which is Jesus' own language, isn't so formal at all. How many of us grew up in a home? Not many. I'm sure some did, but not many. Where you called your parent, your parental unit, as the SNL comics call it, father or mother. Some kids get into that. You know, it's daddy, dad, mom, mommy, pops. Whatever. There's a familiar phrase, a name that is often used. And that's the word that Jesus is using, Abba, which means simply, Daddy. When is the last time that you said the Lord's Prayer and you said it with that word in your mind, or even said it aloud in your private time? Raising your mind to God and you say, Daddy. Because it betrays a relationship which is a deep intimacy. It isn't the formalized relationship, Father, but rather the kind of request that you might make of one of your parental units, where you would go and say, Mom, Dad, and then sit down and have a conversation about it, whatever it is. It's that sense of vulnerability, that sense of informality, that sense of intimacy. That's what we know. Luther says, that's not enough. Now you have to think on some more. He said, I want you to think about the times that maybe, just maybe, you did something to diminish that relationship. To take that relationship and not respect it for the intimacy and the closeness that it entails. that is involved in it. Or perhaps something that you have not done to strengthen that relationship, to strengthen, to deepen that intimacy. And so, for example, when we will say the Confiteor in a few moments, those things which I have done and those things which I have failed to do, does one of them include this relationship to Daddy? Daddy God? How many times you hear people pray, oh, Father God? If you said, oh, Daddy God, they would look at you like, crazy. But that's what Jesus is saying. And Luther says to Peter, it's not enough now. Now you have to think about something that has happened to you that has helped you, that has made you stronger, that has deepened that intimacy with God, and then say, thank you. Thank you. To give thanks, to give gratitude. And then he said, now you are ready to ask. Now you are ready to ask for something, whatever it might be, to help that relationship grow stronger, more deep, more intimate. And then in the end, to stand in awe that we have such a relationship with God, and that we can speak with God on these terms, and that we can ask for God to give us the things that we need that way. Now, to Peter, he'd say, well, that takes a long time to do all of that. And yes, Luther would say, yes, indeed it does. But you're not done yet, because that's only the first phrase. Our Father. Then you go to which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And you go through the same process again. What does it mean? What does it mean? What have I done or not done to strengthen or to understand more deeply or to see God's glory? And so forth. Thy will be done. Now that's the tough one. To go through those same processes again. And then again and again and again with each of the phrases that we use in what we call the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. So it isn't just simply reciting the words on the page, but it is engaging our heart, our mind, our strength, everything about us, to get into a loving and wonderful relationship with our God. That's the purpose of prayer. And once we're in that relationship, and that relationship is strengthening and deepening with each passing day in our life, we begin to understand what Jesus is saying. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Because God becomes not some great Santa Claus in the sky who is the distributor of gifts and benefits and things like that, but rather someone who loves us so deeply and so intimately that he would let nothing great harm us. And not necessarily physically. I'm talking about that which really lasts. In the opening prayer for today's liturgy, we talked about not getting so involved with the things temporal, the things of this world, that we do not stand true to the things eternal. And so those things that Jesus is saying, ask, knock, search, are not for the things of this world, but the things that build up our soul. The things that strengthen us, make us who we are, and help us understand what it means to be a child of God. God is not a Santa Claus in the sky. Rather, God is our daddy, our mommy. And would he give us anything that would harm us? We never really know those things that we ask for are true and right and without harm or potential for harm. It's a phrase often used. Be careful what you pray for because you might get it. Sometimes We pray for things that we have actually no idea what the outcome is going to be. And it may put us in a different situation in which we are less than comfortable. When that prayer is not answered, in hindsight, as we grow older, we say, thank God for that. Yes, God knows what we need even before we ask. And so we need to ask rightly. But the way to ask rightly is to do maybe not all the steps, not to make it some sort of check-off list again, but to realize that the purpose of prayer is not to get, but rather to grow, to be changed, to transform by none other than the Spirit of God. Notice the end phrase of today's lesson. For you who are evil, you would not give your children anything to harm them. How much more will God give to you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So that must really be, in the Lord's mind, the focus of our prayer. Not anything that we want or desire in this world, but rather that ultimately the very focus of our lives is our growth in the Spirit of God. The deepening of our relationship with the risen Lord. That the gift given at that first Pentecost, those gifts of the Holy Spirit, peace, patience, temperance, gentleness, kindness, etc., 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 that these things are the things we desire in our lives. Because if we do, those things will be given to us freely. And once we recognize that they are there, and whence they come, we turn and give glory to them. Because they change and transform us into the kind of people we ought to be if we truly claim to be children of God. So when you pray these prayers today, when we are at the table, and we say, as Jesus taught us, we pray, Our Father. In your mind, think, Dad. That alone changed so much. Think on that. And realize that that little advice that Martin Luther gave to his barber, well, it wasn't little, it was quite long, would actually be true of any prayer that we say. Even the creed itself. And we can meditate on these things day and night, day after day after day, for a lifetime, and never be exhausted. This is the life of prayer. When his disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples, they got more than they bargained for, too. And forever changed their life. Let it be so with us, so that truly we emerge from our prayer as children.